Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Good to have you with us tonight. And thank you so much for bearing with us. We have had just some tweaking issues trying to figure out exactly the best way to do this show. I spent about 3 hours today and figuring out the best way to connect online and stream my show. And I think it's going to be much better tonight than it has been. But it turns out I needed a cord that I don't have. So this is sort of the behind the scenes of a guy who is doing a radio show. Literally, I'm doing this by myself, literally, no kidding. I do have a producer on the other side of the house who is in charge of scheduling our guests and getting them online and all of that. But as far as the technical side of it, I'm really committed to this idea of just a one-man show. It makes life easy doing a show from your house. But if you've got to start bringing in a lot of staff into your house, not as much fun. I also have to ask you to excuse my voice tonight. I have no idea what happened to me, but I was actually diagnosed with pneumonia this week. And I have not been this sick in, I don't know, maybe a year and a half or 2 years. And I don't know what is worse, honestly, really, a summer cold or a winter cold. But in any case, I think it's mostly behind me. I've got antibiotics in me, decongestant, all good stuff. And I've got my cough button here in case I lose control and have to cough at some point during the show. All right, Jim Paris here with you. The website is ChristianMoney.com. I am on Twitter. My Twitter name is James L. Paris. I'm over at Facebook. At Facebook, we've got a page over there, which is ChristianMoney.com. We also have my personal page, which you can find me under James L. Paris. And a lot of good things over there. Of course, there's the YouTube channel. You can find me by just searching James L. Paris at YouTube. And I do put the show up after it runs live on Sunday nights. We do put it up on a number of places, including YouTube, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, iTunes, several places, SoundCloud. I can't even think of all of them. It ends up at like 25 different sites where it can be streamed and downloaded. So all of that is there for you as well, to pick up old episodes. We also stream live on TalkStream Live. We thank our friends there. And the program is, we get a real bonus from TalkStream Live. They run this show every night from midnight until 6 a.m. And so what I do is I put together a playlist every week of some of the very best shows, as well as the most recent live show that we did. And we put that up for midnight to 6 a.m. playing. And what is super interesting about that, I look at the stats, we have hundreds of people that listen to this show in the middle of the night and in strange places like Russia. You want to talk about a Russia investigation? I should probably be investigated for having ties to Russia, because so many Russians listen to this show. I don't know why, but if you're listening in Russia tonight on the replay, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. Reach out to me, Russians. Send me an email, jim@christianmoney.com. Let me know what in particular is of interest to a Russian person about this radio show. In any case, there's your latest conspiracy theory. Tonight's sponsor, as we continue to do the show primarily commercial-free, we sneak in one little commercial at the bottom of the hour, which allows us to get the guests lined up. But tonight's sponsor, BitcoinWorkshop.us. This is a special workshop that I put together. It is completely online. I filmed several videos explaining how to get started with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin step by step. And we also have a discussion group, so you can actually go into the discussion group and ask your own questions. Other members of the group, of the class, will chime in, as well as myself. So all of this is there for you. It is a great workshop, very affordably priced. And it kind of takes my book, the 90-minute Bitcoin Quick Start takes my book to the next level. For those that want more of a hands-on interactive approach, check out tonight's sponsor, BitcoinWorkshop.us, BitcoinWorkshop.us. Now, tonight we have a special guest, and I'm really excited to have him, in particular tonight, because we're going to talk about Tony Robbins in the first hour here in our first segment. And I'm going to bring Tony Robbins up with our special guest as well, because his book is called Game of Gods, The Temple of Man in the Age of Reenchantment. And I'm really interested in this whole positive thinking, motivational movement, which honestly has kind of gone off the rails. I mean, this used to be Norman Vincent Peale, just positive thinking, set goals, be excited about your future. I'm on board with all that. That's all great. But then when you get into this idea that you yourself are a god, that you can do anything that you believe you can do, this is where a lot of this motivational stuff is going to. And it's also going into a real dark spiritual area as well. So we're going to be talking about this book, which we'll be getting into this. I love the subtitle, The Temple of Man in the Age of Reenchantment. So Carl Teichrib will be here with us in our second segment, which will be coming up in about 25 minutes. So don't miss that. All right. A lot of things in the news today. The most interesting story in the news, I just saw this. I'm not kidding. I just saw this 5 minutes ago. I've got a lot to get into in my 25 minutes here tonight. The most interesting story is this story from ChristianPost.com, which I did not pick this up today at all. It says here that President Trump made an unannounced visit to McLean Bible Church this morning, and the pastor there, David Platt, brought Donald Trump on stage and prayed for him. And today, I guess, is a day of prayer, as suggested by Franklin Graham, a day of prayer for the president. And imagine that. You're sitting in church, and the president of the United States comes out onto the stage. This was totally unexpected and apparently was a surprise visit. I'm not really sure how much of a surprise, honestly, it could be, because the truth is when you are when you're dealing with the president and the Secret Service and all the security and all of that, I'm not really sure how much of a surprise it can really be, because they had to have some amount of Secret Service protection. All right. So the president just popped in. That was exciting news. What else is going on? I'm not sure which of these two stories I want to go to first. Both of these stories are equally bizarre. I think I'll start with the Kenneth Copeland story first, because that probably hits home a little bit more directly for us Christians. And there is a video that has gone viral, and you can find the video. Just go on YouTube and type in Inside Edition Kenneth Copeland, and it is just surreal. First of all, I didn't realize how old Kenneth Copeland was. Kenneth Copeland is, I guess, 82 years old now, but he is ambushed by a young reporter, which, by the way, he refers to her as sweetheart. He refers to her as baby. It just really odd. But in any case, he is defending in this video. They basically come up. I think they come up on him right at his near his airplane. I guess near his parking spot where his airplanes are stored at some small runway. They come up on him with the camera and the microphone. The young lady, she starts quizzing him about why he has three private jets. And apparently he just bought a private jet from Tyler Perry. And the private jet, you know, these jets are, I mean, millions and millions of dollars. But in any case, he has three private jets, three of them. And he defends this vigorously. He defends this vigorously to the point that he gets angry. His face goes into contortions. He then tries to explain some of his comments about flying on airplanes and being on an airplane is demonic, and how if you are a pastor, you can't be among the demonic things that happen on airplanes, on commercial flights. if you're a pastor and you're heading on your way to do an appearance, and he tries to defend having three private jets. But I have to tell you, it is just surreal, And in my humble opinion, is one of the most embarrassing things for Christianity that I believe I have seen in a very, very long time. So check that video out. I'm curious your thoughts, your reaction. Drop me a line at jim@christianmoney.com. Let me know if you agree or disagree. It is interesting. Whenever I post something about one of these televangelists, whether it's I don't even want to mention any of the names, but you know the big names, where they've done something nutty like this, there's always a few people that come on my social media and rise to defend these individuals. I'll never understand it, but they do it. In other words, it's like, we don't really care what they've done. It doesn't matter. We're still behind them because they are a minister, quote unquote. And you just have to wonder. I mean, three private jets, and he needs three private jets, according to him. And I thought it was just a fascinating interview. He was obviously not prepared to be ambushed like that, but I think it's good. I think these guys are not above being questioned. They are to be accountable to God's people, in particular the donors to that church. But then when we think about it in a larger context, that when a church or a nonprofit organization like this is operating, they are benefiting by getting a tax deduction, by offering a tax deduction to those who make donations. And that, you know, obviously, you know, is a subsidy. So our country, the United States, offering tax deductible, you know, nonprofit status to these people is, it's part of our culture. I mean, I know we do this, but should we not as a society then be able to question, does a nonprofit organization that's taking advantage of the tax system through tax deductions, through tax deductible donations, do we not have the right to question something like this? You know, three private jets. You know, I just don't get it. All right. And then we move on from that strange video, which I considered excerpting it and playing some of the audio on the show. Decided not to do that because I want you to actually go watch the entire video, because I know if I excerpted it, I would get comments from people saying that I cherry picked sections out of it and it wasn't fair to the Reverend Kenneth Copeland. So we're not going to do that, but we're going to tell you as the listener, go check it out. Just search for Inside Edition and Kenneth Copeland and you'll find it. It is just an incredible, unbelievable video that is going viral. Okay. Speaking of videos going viral, Tony Robbins did not have a good week. And apparently his publisher has dropped his upcoming book, which was supposed to come out. Excuse me. A little cough break there. His publisher has dropped his upcoming book, which was supposed to come out, I guess, in a couple of months. And Tony Robbins has kind of reinvented himself as an investment guy, a money guy. His last book was about money, and this next book was going to be about money. And I guess it was co-authored with a financial advisor, and Tony Robbins was a part owner of a financial advisor with this guy. And all that has come apart. So the stories are, you know, circling around. I don't know what is true, what is not true. I did see one disturbing video of Tony Robbins. It looked like a very young Tony Robbins from many years ago using the N-word in one of his seminars, not actually calling someone that, but like making reference to it repeatedly throughout this part of his seminar. It was really surreal. But apparently there are other videos of Tony Robbins not showing what would be, I would think, a normal amount of grace and understanding to women who have undergone abuse. That's at least the allegation, that he sort of takes this tough love approach with women. I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it, but sort of like, get over your problem that you were in an abusive relationship. You know, move ahead. He's that kind of a guy. And I know for some people, that kind of encouragement or admonition may work, but it's usually not the case. It's just not sensitive. And enough of that has kind of circulated to where Tony Robbins he's lost, I guess, an ownership position in an investment firm. His new book is canceled, and other things are happening with him. And, you know, Tony Robbins is an interesting guy. I mentioned this on my show some time ago that I actually had an opportunity probably around 1990, I think it was, to spend a day with Tony Robbins. And he actually contacted my office. And at that time I was working for financial author Charles J. Givens, and I was running his financial and investment firm. And Tony Robbins contacted my office, and I was assigned to meet with him, and he was seeking investment advice. He had just made a tremendous windfall of money from his infomercial and was looking for advice, and I picked him up at his hotel. It was a Saturday morning. He was staying at a really high-end hotel near SeaWorld because he was going to be doing a big seminar there the next day, and I picked Tony up at his hotel. We came to my office, spent a couple hours at the office talking about his money and his investments. We went to lunch. He was a perfectly nice man. And other than having trouble fitting him in my little car, I was driving at that time a Saab, which is a smaller car, only a two-door car. And he's a giant. I don't know how tall he is exactly, but I'm thinking like 6'7" or something like that. I mean, and he's not just tall, he's big. Like, his hands are like twice the size of a regular person's hands. He's a giant man. I thought he was perfectly wonderful. I really enjoyed my time with him, and he was a gentleman and polite and humble and all that. But you know, his seminars, I think for me, and I did go to his seminar. He gave me a free ticket to go to his seminar. And he actually brought me up on stage at one point in the seminar. And, you know, I think, though, that a lot of this positive thinking stuff that, you know, I had no trouble with it, you know, back in the day, again, Norman Vincent Peale, that sort of thing. But now we're at a point where it's almost like what these motivational people are saying is you are your own God, that you can just whatever you can envision. Whatever you believe will happen, will happen. And I get that to some point, okay? But a lot of Christians have been really drawn into this as well. And there is an important concept, I think, as a Christian that we all have to be cognizant of, which is God's will. You know, I mean, as a Christian, we subscribe to the idea that God actually knows better what we should have than we even know for ourselves. So as a result, you know, we may approach God in prayer for a job that we want, or maybe a real estate. We're trying to buy a house that we hope the deal goes through. We're praying that we get the house. Well, I can't tell you how many times I have prayed for things. I have hoped for things that I'm so glad in hindsight didn't happen. You know, business opportunities that I prayed that would go through that didn't. And then I found out later that probably wasn't a good business opportunity for me. That wasn't a person I should be in a business partnership with. A real estate deal that would have turned out to be a disaster later. So, you know, the verse I like to look to as a Christian is Psalm 37:4. And it is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I think that's the perfect real combination there of our, you know, as Christians, ability to want things and set goals and all of those kind of things. I don't have a problem with any of that, but I think we have to ultimately say it's up to God. It's up to his will for us. And I think if we take it any further beyond that, it almost becomes like a form of witchcraft, that if you say the right words and you're committed enough and you're focused enough, and you internalize it, you can do anything. And they do nutty things like this walking on the bed of hot coals, which is kind of a hallmark of Tony Robbins' big events that he does around the country. And apparently people are able to walk on hot coals, which if you don't keep your feet very long on any given spot, it's not really, there's nothing really magical happening. It's just that you're moving fast enough that your feet are not pressed against the hot coals long enough to actually get burned. There's nothing supernatural happening. It's just physics. And any of us, you can kind of, you know, take your finger and you can light a candle and you can move your finger through the flame. But if you hold your finger over the flame, then you're going to get burned. So the idea of walking those hot coals, I know it's a scary thing. And maybe that's the point, is that it's an opportunity to overcome your fear, because walking on the hot coals, you're not going to get burned unless you were at the event in Dallas where something went wrong. I don't know what, maybe they used the wrong coals or whatever, but people actually did get burned. Some people did at an event in Dallas, Tony Robbins' Walk the Hot Coals event in Dallas. I believe that was last year. Okay. In our last 5 or 6 minutes in this segment, I want to talk about what's going on in the cryptocurrency markets. I want to start, though, yes, Bitcoin is going great, but I want to give you like a little inside idea here, a little insider tip. And I spent some time today doing some trading in my own cryptocurrency. And there is one cryptocurrency in particular that I actually, I got interested in it when I wrote my book, The 90-Minute Bitcoin Quick Start. I got interested in the this coin in my research. I learned about it, never heard of it before, and I got interested, and I bought just a small amount of it. And at that time, it was around 2 cents. And tonight, it's around 7 cents. I didn't buy very much. I should have bought a lot more. But today, I moved money where it's more substantial, the amount of money I have in this. And the coin is called Ravencoin. And you can buy it on one of two exchanges. You can buy Ravencoin on either Bitrex or Binance. Now, Binance is an exchange that happens to be based in Japan. I believe it's in Japan or Hong Kong. It might be Hong Kong. So some may feel uncomfortable with that. So if you want a U.S.-based exchange, you can use Bitrex, which is based in Las Vegas, Nevada. Both of those exchanges would allow you to buy Ravencoin. Now, Ravencoin just this week is up about 25%. And to give you a little bit of a background on it, a lot of these coins, I'll be honest with you, because I'm not a super, you know, technical person, I don't really understand functionally what these coins are all about. I can tell you that Ravencoin is an open source blockchain project that specializes in the creation and peer-to-peer transfer of assets. Now, they do this with tokens, and there's a lot of different applications that this can be used for. However, the most exciting part of it is that both the Bitcoin Foundation and also Overstock.com has put multi-millions of dollars into this. Now, Overstock.com is an early adopter of cryptocurrency. They not only accept Bitcoin as payment, but they also hold Bitcoin. A lot of the Bitcoin they receive as payment, I believe half of it, they hold it. So they're actually long-term holders and investors in cryptocurrency, and are really the first major retailer to really adopt cryptocurrency like they have. So they know what they're doing, and they're really interested in this Ravencoin and have put millions and millions of dollars into it. So, you know, that's enough for me to say, hey, there's something to look at here. Ravencoin is up this week 25%. Looking at the most recent price, just over 7 cents right now. And like I said, it's been as low as I got in at like 2 cents. And I think that was around maybe a year and a couple of months ago. But this is one of these coins where it, you know, it doesn't take a lot of money. I mean, you think about back in the day, if you had put $100 in Bitcoin back in 2009, you'd have over $200 million today. Now, I don't know if that same opportunity exists with any coin today, but I do love the idea of everybody owning a little bit of Bitcoin, but also a little bit of some of these other really small coins, where you can take, you know, $50 or $100 and buy a bunch of this. I mean, it's only 7 cents. So, you know, you could get what, 13 of these for a dollar. I mean, so run the numbers. I can pull my calculator out here. If you wanted to, you know, just, hey, I'm going to do this as a speculative thing. I'm going to take $100 and I'm going to put it in here. You could buy 1,428 Raven coins for $100, which would get you involved, and you'd have 1,400 of something. And, you know, just think, what if it went up to $10? Then you got $140,000. What if it went up to $100? Now you've got over $1 million. I mean, it just, you can start getting excited and crazy about it. You know, I who knows what's going to happen. But I do like the idea of getting in on some of these cryptocurrencies at these super low prices. All right, so Bitcoin, where are we looking at Bitcoin tonight? It is at $8,708. And it's had a kind of an up and down week. It's dropped some this week. So if you take a look at a 7-day chart, we're really about where we were 7 days ago. However, the good news is it had a substantial drop midweek, but it's eaten up all of those losses and is back where it was. So we're in a position now that a lot of people are expecting us to break through 9,000 on Bitcoin, maybe in the next couple of days. But where the really big, exciting point is, again, is 10,000. Because once Bitcoin hits 10,000, it is widely believed, and I agree with this, that it's going to make major news in the mainstream press. And that's when you get into what we call fear of missing out, FOMO. That's when, you know, Money Magazine and CNN and all, you know, all the mainstream press start picking up and talking about Bitcoin. What is it? It's at $10,000 again. They start telling stories about people who got in when it was a few pennies, and all that excitement begins to build up. And then you deal with the psychological issue of fear of missing out. You know, that is, I don't want to be somebody that misses out on this. I want to get in. And that's when you have people by the millions start plowing money in, maybe just $100 or $50. But it brings the everyman, the general public, into the marketplace. And that's where I think the next major move is for Bitcoin. All right, we've got a great guest lined up tonight. Carl Teichrib is here. The book is Game of Gods. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our guest after this. Stay tuned.